what I've read, there's been some compatibility with certain monitors, and it's usually now in my luck I've picked one of the monitors that it's not compatible with.
Yeah, that's how it would work for me, I'm sure.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello. Sorry for being late.
Well,
time just got away.
See, if we gauge this off dock time, you are so early.
I'm dead. That's true. That's true.
Hey, Patrice, I gave you record permission. Do you mind doing a backup? Okay.
Sure. And recording.
And I didn't check to make sure that the audio is going through to the live stream. Well, it looks like my audio is.
Let's see. Is my audio going through?
Yes. Okay, good. I figured by this point there's enough people probably in the chat room that someone would have said something. But
you never know.
Yep. All right. Well, it's just us. So if all of you are ready, ready? I'll start the show. All right. Hello, everyone. Welcome to the big show. And I actually, yes, did have to double check right before the show because apparently I have this thing where I completely forget what show I am on. And anyhow, I am not Ewan Rankin. I'm Jeff Gamet. And Ewan is out while he recovers from being old. So Ewan, we are looking forward to when you are young enough again to rejoin us. The show is not the same without you, but we love you so much. We are going to soldier on and keep this thing flying until you can get back and take over. Amazing panel, which is great because it's going to make me look better simply because they are so awesome. Patrice, how are you today?
I'm doing okay. It's been a bit of a weird week between doctor's appointments and mail appointments and issues at work that I can't go into. It has been a weird week, but yeah, I'm doing okay.
Well, it's great to have you here. And as always, you look fantastic. So
thank you.
Every week you prove that I need to step up my my wardrobe and fashion game.
Yes, you do.
Yes, I do. Yeah. Ian, how are you doing?
I'm doing great, sir. As always, I'm still here up in Yorkshire. It's been nice weather round and about these parts, at least for a bit. So all is good.
Awesome. I'm
ready. So all is good. All is good. Busy week as always. Busy week next week too. So, yeah.
Awesome. And Rich, how are you? And also, what does your shirt say? I haven't been able to get a good look at it.
It says, if you think the things I say out loud are bad, you should hear the stuff I cue to myself.
Okay, that is awesome.
I feel I've been correctly labeled there. So
mm-hmm. Yeah, I feel
that.
Seen.
That would be too, yeah.
So how are you doing?
I'm well. I'm good, thank you. Glad to be back.
Yeah, it's great to be back here with all of you. I feel like we're getting this hammered out. And by the time Ewan does come back, we'll actually know what we're doing. Or at least we'll be able to make it look like we do.
Yeah. Maybe more like that.
It'll be more like that. But that's okay. because appearance, I mean, that's 90% of the fight right there. Yeah. All right, well, let's jump into some news stories. Who has the first story?
Oh, go on. We'll go with my comedy story for the beginning then, and you can do something vaguely more serious.
Which is
all about Amazon's logo gaffe. Someone's pointed out, and I must admit I hadn't noticed till you looked more closely, that the current change of the little beige box with the little swoosh that's the Amazon logo, mm-hmm. and the little bit of what looks like packing tape on the top resembles Hitler's tash. Hitler's priest moustache and smile. And this has passed me by, but once you see, you cannot unsee, unfortunately. Yeah. And I believe this has been doing the rounds on Twitter and Amazon. I'm just going to look at mine's changed on my phone now. I'm just curious to see if it had. And they've gone and go, oh dear. And then they've fixed it.
Yeah, they did that pretty fast.
And they quickly changed it. But who didn't notice that when they were doing the logos, though? You know, this is really great. We'll have an idea. It was like a box, and then we'll have a bit of packing tape across the Amazon logo, Amazon swoosh thing on the side. Excellent. Yeah, great. And really look close.
I didn't notice.
Yeah, because it looks like you've torn it off one of those things. So, yeah, that's great. Mm-hmm. And then, no. When you see it all together.
Looking at it now, I don't see it, really.
Someone did. And there's
I feel awful, like I'm supposed to or something like that. I guess it's a bit,
And I've just chucked another link in there of some other worst logo fails of various companies, and they are quite bad. Genuinely logos from places.
I'm almost afraid to look, and yet here I am clicking the link.
It's safe. It's on board plan. It's on board plan. It's safe.
Well, I mean,
but some of them are amusing.
Yeah.
I think, oh dear.
Yeah.
Oh, they threw up a thing in front. Apparently, the crappy ads, Edge is blocking for me, so I can't look at the board banda page. All right, well, I'll just trust you that the other ones
That's silly. The links are in there. They're in the chat room if anyone wants to have a giggle at some other really silly logo fails of the world. But yes, I suppose it is the mark of our times, I guess. Some things you can't see, but no, I completely agree that it does when you've seen the smiley face and the little toothbrush tash. You know where you are, you know it. There was a comedian in the UK, Richard Herring, for a year of his stand-up routines. He grew toothbrush tash to try and de-demonize it if he could. And he just got so much abuse in the street from people that he gave up. I think he gave up in the end.
Yeah, that's one fashion statement that's been ruined forever.
Forever, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, you could not do that in Germany at all. Like,
no.
I don't think it's the end of the world, though. It's not. I don't think anybody would look good with that if it had never been a Hitler moustache. I don't think there's anyone that is going to look better for having that moustache.
And there we go. There's Richard doing it with his tash. If anyone's vaguely interested.
Yeah, he really needed to cut that off.
Yeah, he did eventually. He's...
Yeah. Well, looking at the Amazon logo, I hadn't looked at the logo closely. I just saw it had been updated and went on with life and didn't go back and look until I started seeing articles. And when I went and looked, my first thought was, then my second thought was, yeah, they needed to change that.
Yeah.
But I can get why this happened, because you get a bunch of people working on a design and you have basically an echo chamber. Mm-hmm. And if you don't notice it in the echo chamber, you're just not going to. And you don't realize what's happened until it's out in the wild. And then you have the rest of the world playing with it. But even if they'd done like a bunch of focus groups, it's still possible that this could have been missed until it was out in the wild.
Yeah. So, I mean, from a design perspective, the individual items are kind of obvious if you think about it. Like it's the Amazon swoosh, that's the smile thing. It's packing tape. And I mean, it's kind of a box shape with a box color. So like everything separately, it makes total sense. If they had put the packing tape anyplace else, it might have been fine. Like if they had put it, I don't know, at the bottom, the side, I don't know.
It's or if they just put it top and bottom.
Probably, I honestly think this is a case of overthink. Just write Amazon in a box. It's just an app icon.
Yeah, a big eye. That's
all you needed
to
do.
Eye. A big A in their font. You've done.
Yeah.
I mean,
that's what it was until this.
Yeah.
I honestly appreciate Amazon doing this, because if you look at all your like app icons, it actually stands out, which is pretty difficult if you think about it. Like, there's so many blue boxes. One. Yeah, exactly.
Yes.
And I mean, Amazon's old logo, if you look at it, there was a lot of blue in there. So they kind of reduced that quite a bit.
Mm-hmm.
So as I said, I can appreciate what they were trying to do, and I can appreciate that they did it. It's just like unfortunate.
It is. And I'm betting that had this not blown up immediately, the original version of the icon with serrated tape, it could have stuck around for a while before someone mm-hmm. caught it.
Mm.
And we still would have ended up where we are, where we're talking about Amazon's mustache box. Well, that's a show title right there.
Let me write that down.
Yeah, write that one down for me, Patrice, please.
What was it? Mustache in the box.
Yeah. Well, I'm at least it wasn't the Catholic, I think it was Support Services logo from a few years ago.
Yes, that was one of the ones in the Bull Panda article.
That one to me is like the worst, because I mean, how could they not see what that looked like before it went out?
Catholic Diocese Youth Commission.
Yes, that's the one.
Yeah, and there's also another one with an equally Arlington Pediatric Center that equally looks
inappropriate.
Not like it's meant to look. Yes, not like it's meant to look.
Yeah. So, hey, you know, at least this isn't that. Yeah.
Oh my God, that's spectacular. I've just found it.
If you look on the that link I posted in there is... has got it in.
Yeah, Rich, when you see that one.
Start with what's wrong with that. That's just so much wrong there. Did they do that?
Also, kids exchange is pretty bad too.
And also the junior jazz dance classes.
Mm.
Once you look at that a bit more closely, then that becomes, yes, mm-hmm. all right, fine, yeah, you got.
Yeah, nope.
Nope, I did that wrong.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, the logo, the London Olympics logo, got a bit of a hammering though here.
I forgot about that.
Why. I mean, I don't know. Well, I never thought that was that bad, in all honesty.
Because it kind of looks like Lisa Simpson giving someone a blowjob.
Mm.
There you go.
That's what everybody said. That it's, yeah.
You've got to squint a bit and have an imagination for that one. Because I couldn't
Well,
see
yeah. It. I mean, it is just four or five purple blocks.
It's four or five purple blocks that are 2012, as far as I can see. Those two Z things are the twos, aren't clearly. The circly bit's got the rings in it. And then the other ones, the other bent bit, the other sort of fair enough. Yeah, no, not having that one.
Yeah. Still, I mean, that cost £400,000.
Yes, it did.
So.
It cost an obscene amount of money.
Yeah.
Well, also, done. Still,
I'm sure, well, probably that
the
marketing guys that created the Amazon thing probably paid an equally handsome sum, I imagine.
I don't know. It might have been an internal marketing department, and then it's not that expensive.
Yeah, they have a pretty extensive internal marketing department.
So they would have all been in-house then, rather than...
Yeah, they have a building that's seriously like two blocks from where I live. It's the old Microsoft offices in Boulder. And when Microsoft moved to a different location, then Amazon ended up taking the whole building, and it's now like their big marketing offices. So, you know, maybe I should go knock on the door and ask if
so who did the who did that new logo? Who did that new logo? Oh, he doesn't work here anymore. Oh, yeah, okay, oh, fine.
Yeah, he's two doors down at Twitter now.
Yeah. No, he's down the road at McDonald's.
No, he's fetching coffee right now.
He's got to do it for the rest of his life. We will never let him go, and all he has to do is make coffee.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Ewan, look what you're missing out on by not being here for this discussion.
The benefits you've had, I think he could stand up today and have a shower, which, poor man, I'm sure was a good thing.
Mm-mm. You know, some people would say it's a little victories in life, but I'd say for Ewan today, that's a big victory. Good for you, Ewan.
Oh, yeah.
We're proud of you.
Yeah, poor chap has not been well. I think he might be free today or tomorrow. I didn't see on the I've...
Yeah, soon. I don't know if he's officially getting to go home today, but it does look promising. So, high five to you, Ewan. All right, next story, because I'm getting dangerously close to saying inappropriate things, I fear. Patrice, your story. Microsoft brings vertical tabs to Edge and Bing gets better at visual search.
Yeah, I mean, Microsoft has had their big yearly event this week, or has, I think it's still going on.
We ignore it.
And the one of the surprises was that they, after doing very little to Edge, I mean, other than switching the engines around from their own engine to Chrome, and Bing, I don't even remember when Bing last changed. They've pushed out some really nice changes to Edge and to Bing. One of the big things is, I mean, one, Edge is apparently much faster. They have a fast startup thingy. And the other big thing is that you can, they've changed basically over from the kind of the Chrome model with tab, or actually, well, the model for most browsers, mm-hmm. which is that the tabs are on the top, to a more vertical stack. And I mean, thinking about that, I actually like that because I have a pretty wide monitor. So I have enough space to have the tabs on the side and have a little bit more vertical space for the page. Because most pages aren't 34 inch wide. So
yeah.
No.
I've been a big proponent of vertical tab management mm-hmm. for basically forever. It's one of the reasons why I've always been a big fan of OmniWeb, because it does vertical tabs and tab management. And tabs across the top, to me, is a horrible design interface, because mm-hmm. you get more than just a small handful of tabs, and now you can't read the name of each tab, and organizing them, I think, is a total pain, and it just sucks, which is why I use Workona. It's mm-hmm. it's a plugin that's available for Chrome-based browsers, and I think Firefox, and they're working on the Safari version, and it gives you that vertical tab thing where nice. You can also organize them into tab groups and synchronize them between all your devices, and it's awesome. And I cannot imagine working with horizontal tabs. Absolutely sucks.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the thing is, it's an option. You don't have to do it. If people prefer horizontal tabs, they're still there. But they did it really well. I mean, it's kind of some websites have that sidebar menu that has either icons, or you can expand it to the full menu. Mm-hmm. It's kind of what they've done. So you can either have just the icons for the tabs, or you can have the expanded version where you see the text. I mean, you can actually read the text, which is
that's huge. Even,
yeah, I mean, if I look at my browser window right now, I can barely read anything because I have so many tabs open. So yeah, I like it. The startup thing is great, 30% faster. But I think this is this is a small change design-wise, but I think it's huge in productivity.
Oh yeah, no, that sounds good. It's a huge big monitors. Wider with wider monitors.
Mm-hmm.
the size of the page is only that of your, and the rest is white space and adverts. So if you take a bit of the edge up with a set of tabs to click down, it'll just take a bit of visual break from being used to looking along the row along the top to move to the side. I mean, the other browser vendor that does a lot with that is Vivaldi. They keep tweaking and messing with their. I mean, one thing they do that's very nice is you can have multiple pages open in the same window. And it's not multiple browser instances, it's multiple windows, new frames inside the mainframe, which is kind of nice. The last time I played with it was very, I've got it on at the moment. I might have to stick it back on for another play, but it was always a really sort of impressive browser. And they do tab management. You can stack tabs with theirs.
So in the chat room, Magic Man's asking, could we just have a couple row of tabs? And to that, I say, do you remember Microsoft Word 5 for the Mac?
I don't.
You're lucky.
No.
Okay, so the joke. So there are people that would make joke windows and share them from Word 5 for the Mac, where it was just row after row after row of buttons and tabs, and then at the bottom you'd have a strip like this, which was your actual document. and the problem I see with stacking tabs is that pretty soon it becomes difficult to keep track of what you have and actually see what you have. It gets visually too cluttered.
I mean, tabs on the top gets visually too cluttered because we all get, so now we've got enough memory to just keep opening another tab and another tab and another tab. And the multiple windows open. I mean, it's just ridiculous the amount of tabs of nonsense I've got here that I clicked to read, put to one side. Oh, I'll come back to that. Someone's rung me or whatever. I need to do something else. And then not gone back to.
Yeah, I mean, I use Windows as workspaces. So I have, like, especially for work, I have like four or five windows that are specific to certain tasks I have to do. And each one of them has at least, whatever, 10, 15, sometimes more tabs. Mm-hmm. So that's how I organize my work. And it gets tedious, especially, as I said, like then every tab is like a little bit. And like... Like you open the same, like in one window, you might open like the same application like four or five times, like for us, for example, Jira. And all Jira, like the title of the Jira page is all the same. I don't know which one is which because the relevant information is not in the right position there. And it's too small to see it.
Patrice, you should totally check out Racona. Assuming you're using a Chromium-based browser.
No, I'm not.
Well,
then I have to wait for Safari, right?
You'll have to wait for the Safari version.
Yeah.
But I think you'll really like it.
Mm-hmm. I think I would.
It's wonderful. Yeah.
I'm going to look for that now.
I can't imagine.
It's in the Chrome store. It's in the Chrome store, is it? Yeah. Racona, R-E-C.
I put a link into the chat room. Racona, Racona.com.
Yeah, flexible workspaces. Yeah.
Every time I get to turn someone on to this, I feel like I've done something of value.
You have.
And so you're welcome. Patrice, the other part of your story was getting a better visual search.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so they're focusing a little bit on like redesigning the entire search engine. It looks like using the space a little bit more efficiently, especially if it's like an image search or like any kind of data heavy search. Like it's not just like standard search result where you have like rows of links, but more like topic searches. And they have organized them in a way that it's like easier to see what's available. Let's say you're searching for recipes, for example. Instead of having just links, they will show like little cards for each recipe, for example, and stuff like that, like a carousel type of thing.
It's a live thing. I mean, there we go.
Sort of like page thumbnails.
Take a look at that. There, that search. straight out of the Bing search engine.
Yeah, it looks like really good. I mean,
yeah, that's cool.
Huh? Yeah.
Yeah, no, that's not if we do.
It's amazing how, other than that, it looks exactly like Google search results. Yeah. Well, down to the colors.
I mean. There is just so many ways you can do it. I mean, Google is the minimal version mostly.
Mm-hmm.
It's like it's a search box, it's a button, it's the result. Like there's not too much to it. So yeah. I mean, you don't want to be, what was it, Yahoo, I think? Their search page was like completely cluttered and you couldn't find anything.
Oh, I forgot about that. do you remember going way back? When we had Ask Jeeves and Alta Vista.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
I was just thinking of that. And then what was the other one?
Yeah.
There was another one that was actually very good called Hotbot. Was it Hotbot? Was that it? There was another search. Remember. Was it?
Yep.
Yeah, Hotbot search engine. There we go.
Oh, okay.
It still exists.
Seriously.
Safe search, it still exists. It's still a thing. It's absolutely still a thing. There you have it. It hasn't gone away. It's been around since 1996.
Holy crap.
I'm assuming Ask Jeeves is gone.
I think they got swallowed by one of the other ones.
Ask.com is kind of swallowed it. I was looking it up right away.
And Alta Vista and all those other guys like that. I mean, the Alta Vista engine now is used in the backbone of all sorts of things, isn't it? The Alta Vista engine. That still exists very much.
Oh, I thought that was completely dead. I had no idea.
Yeah, I think it still gets you. It was certainly being used.
Yeah, I think Yahoo shut that down and just redirected it to Yahoo.
Mm.
Yeah.
Wow.
There was once a time when you'd buy a book that just had every website listed in it.
Yes!
I remember seeing that. So, like, I want to say, like, somewhere 2007-ish, maybe. I was at school, and my university, they were, like, removing books from the library that had been, like, in there for, I don't know, 40 years or something. Like, books that nobody cared about. And one of the books was literally The Internet. And it sat on a like cover page, the entire internet on two discs.
Wow.
There were literally two floppy disks in there with the entire internet. At that point.
That's even better than when Microsoft would give you a CD-ROM with a full internet on it.
Yeah.
Oh, good times.
I think we're getting into things like Encarta then now, aren't we? If we're really dropping down that rabbit hole.
Oh, those were the days, Encarta. Oh God.
Oh my God.
You always got with everything. You got with every PC. Yeah, it was really for what it was at the day. In its world, it was really very good. 2009 when it eventually died.
Yeah, I mean, I remember, I want to say mid, late 90s, I was using that for like my homework at school the time, like printing out stuff out of that and using it for projects and so on.
I had the books. It was really good. Dust off.
Wow.
Yeah, okay. And then Wikipedia came around and just
replaced
it all.
Yeah.
Well, God, so they're all better than an actual set of encyclopedias.
Yeah, which I think still. I think they stopped selling them now. They still have digital versions, I think. But
yeah, Britannica still exists.
Isn't it digital only now?
Yeah, I think so.
I mean, printing encyclopedias at this point seems like kind of a waste. I mean, the place where I could see some value in that would be if you're in an area where there just isn't internet access and you need to have a resource for schools, then you can have printed encyclopedias. But you'd have to accept that whatever, even if it's brand new, hot off the press, it's just out of date stuff.
Yeah. Mm. I do remember, I think it was my grandma's boyfriend. He had like there was a kind of like the Britannica, but like a German version of it. And he would get, I think it was once a year, like a big envelope with basically replacement pages. And he would go in and just like switch out pages.
Yeah,
because
yeah,
they had updated whatever entry there was and had added some new ones at the end. And that was, I think it was either every quarter or every year or something. And it was massive. Like, I don't know how many, like, I mean, I don't know what he paid for this entire thing. Probably a lot.
Probably
it was massive.
Lot.
Yeah. Like, it was an entire bookshelf.
That's just amazing and awesome.
And today, you just go to Wikipedia and it has more information than was ever in those books.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And you don't have to read
you don't
to
get
the supplement.
Yeah. The only thing you don't get is you can't just pick out a book and start just flipping through it.
That's the one thing that's a little bit lost is the disappearing. And I mean, I suppose it's the same as falling down a hole in Wikipedia, isn't it? We've all done that. You know, you'll click on one thing and you'll kind of go click, 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 and you end up. But you don't have the thing of picking the book up and just opening it up on a page and seeing what's there. And they're going, oh, that's interesting. Oh, it refers to, you open another page and then you're lost for an hour looking at interesting things.
I'm pretty sure my grandma used that as a tool if I was bugging her. She would just give me a book of like, just read something. And like, I would go down those rabbit holes.
Can't you kind of do that with Wolfram Alpha? Wolfram Alpha?
Oh, I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, you can also do that with the Wikipedia, like on the start and the homepage, they have like the list random articles of the day and whatever. Mm. So there is a way you can even click a link and it will just like throw you to a random Wikipedia page. I think you can still do that, but it's not the same.
You're right. It's not
like it's not alphabet. Like, I mean, as I said, if you picked out a random volume and it just said whatever, it's like whatever, all the E's. And you just started with whatever is the first thing and just went down the list. It's harder to do in Wikipedia.
Yeah, that's true. And I'm looking at Wolfram Alpha right now, and they have it's broken up by categories.
Mm-hmm.
And so you could click a category, or they have a random button just below the search field.
Mm-hmm.
But you're right. It's not like you can say, just show me stuff from E.
Yeah, I mean, you can do that technically on Wikipedia. I think there's an index somewhere where you can just go in and see it all, but it's still not the same.
No.
Yeah. I put the link in the chat if you want to go to the random Wikipedia article. It's wikipedia.org/wiki/special:random. And that will take you to a random page.
Yeah, so for me, it's time to tell people where to find the chat.
Oh, that's true. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I just want to mention I clicked it and it took me to Westgate, Las Vegas for some reason. Okay. You can find the link to that or everything we've talked about on bridgetechnetwork.com/chat. Then navigate to the 4th of March, 2021. It's almost March the 5th. And yeah, you will see all the links.
Patrice, I clicked the link and I got Joseph Horton.
Okay.
He was an English first class cricketer who played 62 matches for is it Worcester? Is that the proper way to pronounce it?
No.
I have no idea.
Worcester. Yeah, probably.
Okay, so
yeah,
he was big in the cricket world in the 1930s. Well, so there you go.
Today we learned.
You know what? Though, since we were talking about Bing image search, I just typed in Labrador puppy, and I haven't heard a word anyone said since. He's adorable. He's got a little teddy bear. That one, he loves that little bear.
I think Rich found the best life hack for the day.
Sorry.
That is awesome. Rich, speaking of, do you have a story for us?
I do.
And if it turns out to be Labrador puppies, I'm cool with that.
Mm-hmm. It's not, unfortunately. It's far more boring than Labrador puppies. This is people continuing to get a bit annoyed with LastPass. As you've no doubt heard, that, well, LastPass, a very popular password manager until fairly recently, and now PR things seem to keep happening to them. They had a free tier and a paid tier, and they've decided to make the free tier a little bit more restrictive in what it does of late. You can now either, or coming up when they change it, you'll be able to either use it on mobile or on computers, but not both without paying, which is, okay. I don't mind paying for these things. That just is a bit odd, but okay. Mm-hmm. However, they were then found to have no less than 7 different tracking bits of software in their Android app. So security researchers are now saying probably don't use LastPass anymore because it's collecting marketing data on your web usage.
The last thing you would want in a password manager is that it sends data somewhere else. Yes, like other right. than yeah. maybe to the center, like if you have like a sync or something, that's fine, but like nowhere else.
Mm-hmm. I mean, this has all changed since LogMeIn bought them. It was a much better product prior to that. They had less problems prior to that. Yeah, but I suppose it's what happens when things grow.
Mm. Wasn't it after they were bought that they had the data breaches also?
Yeah. Yeah, it was.
Yeah. I mean, I would guess that was more a coincidence.
To be fair, I've got a couple of customers that use LastPass as their password manager. Mm. I use the corporate version. And, it's interesting, but I mean, the ones I've kind of defaulted to these days is for my own use, I'm using Bitwarden. Which I can sell for, or I can contribute a couple of quid to them, and it's a good service. I need to get my old my dear mother-in-law onto it as well, which should make her happier.
That's one I've just switched to because I've used LastPass for years up until last week, and then just swapped to Bitwarden, and it's perfectly good. It does everything you need it to do.
Yeah, exactly. I've been using it for 3 years. It's been really great, and I've also got I keep an offline backup in KeePass, the classic password manager. I dump it every now and again, just for paranoia's sake. I dump it, stick it into stick the export into my LastPass, and then my KeePass, and then keep that on my OneDrive somewhere. So I've got another backup somewhere. So if that service goes, I'm not going to lose any critical passwords.
I mean, there are a lot of other things that are trying to keep track of my passwords for me because whenever you put a password into anything on iOS and it doesn't have it, it will notice that and ask you if you want it to remember it.
Yeah, I've also got a lot of stuff in Keychain as well, which is bad, but Keychain's fairly secure, so I'm quite happy. I'm reasonably happy to let Apple have that. And the convenience of my phone and my Mac all having the password sets on, I quite like. I'm slightly annoying. I can't get it on Windows.
That's the problem with it. It's not a complete password management system. You know, if it was easy, it's not even easy to access your own passwords on an iPhone.
It's not even easy on a Mac.
You give up Keychain, it's all right. Yeah, I've done that a couple of times to get a password out. It's just more faff than you want, isn't it?
Yeah, it's not a great app, let's put it that way.
And the Chrome password manager is similar. That it's great that it's there to remember all my passwords on the web, but yeah, go and look up your passwords. I'll see you in 25 minutes. It'll be fine.
I know where to go now after I turned it all off and went to get all my passwords out of my browser as well at one point. And then one of the first things to do, the first time it asked me, no, I don't want that. And I go and find the settings. No, don't ask me. Because Bitwarden will do. Bitwarden does everything else for me. I don't need it to.
Yeah, I don't want to let a web browser manage passwords for me. That's what my password management tool is for. In my case, 1Password. Yeah.
I mean, even the bit, I mean, the other good thing about Bitwarden, it's got, it's aware of authenticators as well. So if you're using Authenticator, it'll generate your keys for you.
Mm-hmm.
All built in. It is a really, really good bit of software. I think I might have to buy a premium account just to support them, because it's been an open source thing for forever. You could host your own database server, the lot, if you want to completely keep it yourself.
Mm. Well, you've just told me about features I didn't know it had, so I think I might be getting the premium membership also.
Yeah, the premium membership. It's not very much. It's $10 a year. Encrypted, yeah, additional two-step login options for FIDO, YubiKey, password hygiene, TOTP verification, 2FA generator for logins in your vault. All for a tenner. $10. Nice. So not even 10 English pounds.
That's nice.
Mm. It's,
is that 20 English pounds?
No. No, that'll be less these days.
I know.
It's the best thing. I mean, at the moment, with the dollar being a bit suppressed, it's less.
Mm. All right. So I think we're all in agreement. Don't use LastPass.
Yeah, leave LastPass now.
Yep.
Yeah. It's, you know, that's actually unfortunate, because having several quality password managers for us to choose from, I think is important, because they're all going to have some features that are unique. And if we have multiple products out there that are strong and competing, then they're all improving, which is why, you know, our favorites all now have the same sort of features, where they can do auto fill in, they can do auto generation, they can do two-factor authentication for us, and let us know if we have any passwords that are for sites that have been compromised. We can go and change them. And I don't even have to go and look at the feature list for Bitdefender to know that it's just doing all those things.
Mm.
Yeah. So that's awesome. All right. I think that brings us to my article. And yes, I'm the only one that's left. Okay. So mine, when I first read this, I was certain I was reading it wrong, and it turns out I was not. There was a study done by SEO Clarity about which technology brands are most trusted by Americans. So this probably tells you a lot right there. And Google came out at the top of the list.
Hmm. Which I don't get, but okay.
Yeah. Now, Facebook and TikTok, they were at the bottom of the list.
Yeah. That's not surprising.
Yes. Yeah. And Amazon was second, Microsoft third, and then Apple. Hmm. And based on Apple's marketing about how they are so pro-privacy, and the fact that we've had these very public legal fights with the US government versus Apple about putting backdoors into encryption, I would have thought Apple would have been higher on the list, but there you go.
I'm kind of wondering whether that has something to do with Android, that a lot of people are using. I mean, even in the US, there's, I think, the majority of smartphone owners are Android users. So doesn't mean necessarily that you trust Google more, but I think it pushes you in that direction.
I didn't mean to interrupt.
No, go ahead. I will start.
I mean, objectively, what reason have Apple given anybody to distrust them? I can't think of anything in particular that stands out. I could point at a few things with Google, and especially Amazon. And I feel like that this is kind of a public perception thing, but even then,
I mean, Apple has done some things. Like, it's not that they haven't done anything.
All the battery gate and all of that kind of nonsense probably is a thing that you could point at, but I mean, it's still not it's probably no worse than anyone else does, I would have thought, to be honest.
No.
No. I mean, I am surprised that Google's trusted. I must admit, I'm falling down the tinfoil hat days as I go along and I get older and keep thinking, I don't really want Google. I mean, I don't have Chrome browsers anymore, generally, because, again, I other than the Edge one, because that's Microsoft. So there isn't hopefully the hooks back into Google that there was in Chrome itself, kind of thing that makes you think, really, do I want? I mean, I still use Gmail though. So I mean, it's how far can you cut your own nose off to spite your face, I suppose, isn't it? In terms of trying to disconnect yourself from all these services, to when Google is a trustable, I think it's a trustable entity itself, but I just don't want to be marketed at. I think that's more my problem. I don't want to be marketed at.
Yeah. The Facebook result is very interesting, because that's when you get into the first, where people distrust them more than trust them. I'm with you there.
I mean, the Huawei. I mean, it's interesting because Americans there with the Huawei down at the bottom, being one because it's China, because it's a Chinese company, effectively.
Right.
So amount of trust is spying and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, and we're routinely told in the United States that Huawei is bad. They're dangerous. Can't be bringing their products into this country because China's going to spy on us, and we can't have that. And I'm not saying those things are true, but that's what we're being told.
Yeah.
Were we buying a load of Huawei mobile networking stuff in this country?
Yes.
And then after the pandemic, we were like, sod you with your Chinese networking stuff, not getting that because we've all got COVID now. That's your fault.
Yeah, we were going to buy a load of Huawei. We were going to buy a load of Huawei 5G gear, and that stopped. Right. And I think that partly stopped because our friend Boris talked to you out to your friend Donald, and they both had a bit of a chat together, it's no one's friend really. And they decided, oh no, maybe that's not such a good idea. And so that's kind of what happened. Yeah. I think that's when it started. I think more that special relationship pressure was levied. If I'm suspicious, and I am, frankly, I'm not entirely convinced Huawei is dodgy in any way, but who knows? I'll be proved wrong, and there's a bot in everyone, and there's a bot in every appliance. But as far as I know, they're not. I joke about it.
I think Huawei it's a bit of a problem. I mean, you know why. Especially the US, but I think also European countries have problems with it, because they know if they had a way to put like a backdoor in equipment that is used in like Russia or China, you bet the intelligence community would do it.
Yeah, in a half course.
And of course. So they know exactly that even with the higher moral ground that is claimed, would do it. That's why, even if they're not doing it right now, there is a possibility. And that's what they're looking at.
Well, there are documented instances in the United States where products coming in from China, like routers and other technology devices, are being intercepted by US intelligence operatives, agents, and they're going into the packaging, opening them up, and inserting spy tools, and then putting everything back together and making it look as if the package had never been opened, and then sending the stuff on. So, I mean, we don't even have to look to China for the spy chips, because in some cases, we're popping them in ourselves.
So that's it. Like, they know exactly what is possible and what they've done themselves. And as I said, I can understand that there is a risk, and you should probably not rely on, at least not have exclusively like everything from one company. That's in general a bad idea. So I think that's just common sense.
Yep. I think that's good advice. Yep.
Yeah. And especially how important these days communication infrastructure is. Basically everything is going through them, like including government communication and everything. Like, it's not just our stuff, like it's everything that's going through in air quotes the internet. Like, it's separate, but it's the same infrastructure. You don't want that to be accessed by one of your biggest enemies, basically.
No. It's true. Rich and I, but on our doorstep, have got two of the largest listening stations in the UK, haven't we? Menwith just up the road and then finding Doves up on the North York Moors.
Mm.
So yeah, there's a huge USAF GCHQ listening station in just near Harrogate. They look like a series of golf balls.
Yep.
And its job is to listen. And then up on the top of the moors, there's this very, very peculiar shaped building, which is shaped like a pyramid with two uneven sides that you see jutting out into the, again, that's another listening station, Finding Dales and Menwith Hill.
Hmm.
So, yeah. And they listen to what I'm saying now anyway, so it's fine.
Well, we're broadcasting, so
it's one of those places if your car breaks. It's one of those places if your car breaks down outside, you'll very, very quickly get a recovery vehicle come out to you and take you away. Because it'll be the army that will do it, because the police to look after will be, yeah, come on, move along now, please. Come on, you will get someone to get my help, you go and go. If you want to put them, that's fine. We'll get you out of your way. You know, you won't hang around there for very long at all.
So what you're saying is if your car is going to break down, if you want the fastest tow possible.
Yeah, break down outside Menwith Hill.
Got it. One other thing that came out of this study that I found very interesting and will break the heart of SEO companies everywhere. There's a lot of people that think that websites have the ability to control where they appear in Google search results.
Yeah. You don't.
You don't. I mean, if only.
I mean, you can control that you don't get delisted or like ranked down. Like by doing certain things, like by being fast and being accessible and so on, but you cannot control exactly what position you will be in, like at the top or whatever.
Yep.
I mean, there's literally only one way, and that is by buying ads.
Yeah, there you go. Yep. All right. Well, on that happy note for SEO consultants, hey, this show and all the others on the British Tech Network are sponsored by TSO Hosts, and they are absolutely awesome because they're providing the bandwidth and storage space that we need to bring these shows to you every week and to give you a place to go and find all of these amazing gems and watch them again and again, because I'm sure that's exactly what happens. Like, at some point, someone is going to be thinking, you know, I really, really want to go back and listen to that show where they talked about the Amazon icon. Yeah, I'm going to go do that. And they can, because the shows are there on TSO Hosts. So without them, we wouldn't be here. So thank you to TSO Hosts for having our back and being here and sponsoring us. And what they're asking of us is not much, but to them it means a lot. And that's to go out to your favorite social media platform and give them a shout out and thank them for being here to support us. So go do that. And thank you to TSO Hosts. Our other sponsor is Iman Max, and they're the place that you want to take your gear that has an Apple logo on it if it needs some sort of repair. This is a place where if you don't have AppleCare Plus anymore, just take your stuff. Don't even think about it. Let them fix it for you. What they're going to do is better than what Apple would do, because Apple would either just say, here's a new one, which is actually a refurbished one, or they'll take the guts out and throw it away and then put new guts in and give you your device back. What Iman Max does is they open it up, they find what's wrong and fix the part that's wrong. So that means if they need to go in and like take a capacitor off and put a new one in, they can do that. And they're the only place that I feel like I could truly trust to crack open my Mac, my iPads or my iPhone and fix something for me. And the only sad part about that for me is that I'm on the wrong continent to do this quickly and easily. So this is the cross I bear. Cal will be with us on the Mac show tomorrow, and he will no doubt have a device of the week to tell us about. Also, if you mention British Tech Network. When you have them work on any of your gear, you get a 5% discount. And because Ewan isn't here to stop me from doing it, I'm going to tell you to enter the contest to win an iMNMAX mug or an iMNMAX Qi charger that also has a couple extra USB ports so you can charge your wired devices as well. What you need to do to get into the contest is find the names of all four employees that work at iMNMAX. And I already gave you a freebie because I mentioned Cal or Callum. So now you only have to find three more names. And then you send that in an email off to Ewan. And when he finally tells me to shut up about the contest, then he will draw some people from random and they will win the cool iMNMAX gear. The email address that they need to send to is britishtechnetwork@gmail.com. And did I get it right, Patrice?
You did.
Finally.
Yay.
Finally. I've got the email address down. I still can't for the life of me get the chat URL down, but hey, britishtechnetwork@gmail.com. Send the four names there and you're in the drawing. All right. So thank you to TSL Host and thank you to iMNMAX. Both companies absolutely rock. All right. It is time for the cool thing. Patrice, what do you have?
So I'm going to continue something that I started and looked it up a month ago. I've been picking TV shows because I think we all need more TV shows to watch. And there is a lot of content out there. It's surprising given like Corona and everything. And we thought there would be no TV at all. And a lot of stuff is coming out. I haven't even started with like the Apple TV Plus stuff. I'm going to pick a show that I wasn't 100% sure about at first. Like I reviewed it in our Slack room, I gave it a 6 out of 10 at the beginning. I upgraded it later to an 8 out of 10 and a couple of listeners have watched it and enjoyed it. So it's called Tribes of Europa. And you have to get over the dubbing because it is actually a German show, which after a little while realized that was bought by Netflix apparently and then dubbed in English, or maybe they bought it right away. I don't know. Like it's like I switched to the original track and it's like a mix of German and English. So I don't know what the plan was there. But it's, if I had to explain it, it's kind of like a dystopian future show. Kind of like, I don't know, Mad Max meets The 100 meets, I don't know, Revolution meets like some other show in that direction. It's basically, there has been some mysterious global disaster. They call it Black December. There's some hints it might have been something cyber related or like whatever. But they're basically tribes in Europe, hence the name. And they're fighting, and there's like, it's like, I wouldn't say children, but they're like young adults, like three kids, or like young adults from one of the tribes. They come into possession of a mysterious cube, which is one of the few things technology-wise that still works. And they're trying, and others want it, and they're trying to protect it and get separated and so on. And it's a really interesting story. It's that you have to get over the dubbing part. That's like, for people who are not used to that, might be a little strange, but it's relatively well written, relatively well acted. Not the best show of all times. You can definitely tell here and there that the budget was lower, at least, which is not surprising. But it's set in Germany. For the most part, like they travel around a bit. It's not always clear where they are. They go to Berlin at some point, which is interesting. But it's, as I said, it's a really enjoyable show, and it picks up. Like it starts slow, and then I mean slow but bloody. Like it's definitely nothing you would want to show to your kids. And then it really picks up, and the ending is really, really, really good. And I'm waiting for season two. And there is a season two. Netflix has already confirmed it. The good thing is, as I said, it's a Netflix show, so it is available all around the world.
Cool. Okay. And you
and
said
it's only 6 episodes, so it's not long investment-wise.
Okay. And you said you can switch it back to the original dialogue soundtrack?
Yes. I could. I don't know whether that's because I'm in Austria. But I said, the original is a mix between some people speak German because there are German actors in there. That's why I even noticed, I was like, those are not like typical American actors. Like, it's kind of weird. And then I realized that. But there are also some English actors in there. So I don't know. Like, it seemed to be a mix.
All right. My choice would be switch it to the original dialogue track and then turn on subtitles.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you can do that. I've done that too.
Yeah, and I know for Americans, I'm in a minority of actually wanting to have subtitles as opposed to mm-hmm. having something dubbed, but I would much rather do it that way.
Yeah, I mean, there are also those people that simply because of audio processing issues, they need subtitles.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm used to that as well.
Cool. All right. Yeah. Well, thanks for giving me another show to start watching, because tomorrow is the last episode of WandaVision.
Oh,
yeah. Yeah. All right. And Ian, tell us about your cool thing.
My cool thing is called OpenBoard. OpenBoard's an open source cross-platform teaching piece of software. So it's a whiteboard. You can upload software. You can record. You can set loads of... one of my training colleagues turned me on to it. I'm an IT trainer. It's one of my many hats I wear. And this looks like a really good bit. I've not had a chance to really work with it in Angular yet. I've had a bit of a play and thinking, oh, this is really cool. So I'll give an updated report next week because I'm going to use it for my class. I've got a class I'm teaching next week, so I'm going to use it. But it's kind of nice because you can, particularly with these days when everything we're doing is kind of like remote and remote learning, I'm sharing screens. And this, I can then do drawings and stuff because I do quite a few diagrams and stuff on my classes. I can have my slides built in. I can set breaks and timers up and things on it, and I can record. So it looks really, really neat. Highly recommend it. It's a freebie.
And it's for Windows, Mac, and Linux.
Yeah, it's completely open source. It's Geneva, it's Swiss.
That's very cool.
Nice.
All right.
It's a nice little tool for presentation training-wise.
Nice. Okay, Rich, what do you have?
This week I have the game I've been playing, which was in this month's Humble Bundle, and it's PC Building Simulator. And I mentioned it because before I had a go at it, I thought it's a terrible idea. Like, it's just building. No, why would I want to sit and build a PC? And they've made enough of a game out of it that it's actually fun. Yes, you're building PCs and what have you, but you're actually running a PC repair business. And so PCs are being sent to you with various technical problems that you need to solve. Sometimes a part is broken and you've got to replace it. Sometimes you've got to figure out what part is broken and whether it needs replacing. There's all kinds of other you get vague requests from customers saying, I want it to run this game. And you have to go and see what parts you've got to put in to make it play that game. It grabbed me right away. I'd like it to have been a silly thing, but it's not. It's actually a bit of fun. Especially if you're into sort of PC gaming hardware. If you're not, it might actually be boring as all hell, to be honest. If you're not really into that sort of thing, don't play it probably. But if you are, it's actually a lot of fun.
From what I saw here, it's the contents, it's not just random stuff either. It's all branded. The components you're going to be using are all branded hardware and stuff, Antec and all the other sort of case builders and people who make all the hardware all in there.
Yeah, they've got all kinds of
Corsair and stuff, yeah.
Set up. And so, yeah, you're putting in actual graphics cards and actual processors, and these things really do fit together as they should and that sort of thing. It's remarkably accurate. You know, I was in a BIOS of a computer that doesn't exist the other night just to overclock the memory. I mean, what the
That's
hell?
Awesome.
But it's really accurate and a bit of fun to play. There's my cool thing.
And I'm betting Callum would be like, why would I ever want to play a game like that? That's what I do every day.
Well, in that case, yeah, don't. That might be really bad.
Yeah. All right, cool. Okay, my thing is a tool that's been available for a long time for Mac users, and it's called Default Folder X. And this is a great tool that adds a lot of features to Finder dialogues that that should have been there all along. It makes it a lot easier to navigate to folders you use all the time. And it makes it a lot easier to find folders and files. And it's just a really handy, useful tool. And the reason I'm picking it is because, well, besides the fact that it's going to make it easier to deal with all the files on your Mac, it's that it's also available in SetApp. So you don't even have to pay anything to go and get it. All right. Well, we survived yet another show. Thanks to all of you for making my part of this so easy. And and thank you to all of our viewers and our listeners for being part of this as well. And we'll be back tomorrow for the Mac show. So join in and see how we take that off the rails, because, well, that's kind of what we do. And yep. Yes. And Patrice, where can people find you?
Well, you just mentioned it. Tomorrow on the Mac show, every week here, also on the Big Show and on the Mac show. All the social media links, everything I do, all the projects and whatnot, podcasts, you can find on thepatrice.com. And my podcast is the Foodie Flashback at foodieflashback.com. And if you want to be a guest, then let me know, because I'm looking for guests right now.
Awesome. All right, Ian, where can people find you?
You can find me in the Slack room here every week on the Big Show. I shall be here until they kick me off. Otherwise, you can find me on LinkedIn, Ian Grant. I'm Commvault trainer. You'll find me there doing something. If you ever do anything to do with Commvault and it's in the UK or EMEA, you might find me somewhere lurking around telling you how it all works. That's what I do.
Awesome. And Rich, where can people find you?
Best place to find me is on my YouTube channel, Early Morning Barking, or on my website, earlymorningbarking.com. I've got a Twitter at Barking, but Twitter in it.
Well, you know, yeah, that's where people can find you. And I'm Jeff Gamet. I'm Jay Gamet on Twitter and Instagram. I'm here on the Big Show tomorrow on the Mac Show. I'm apparently regularly now on Mac Voices Live on Tuesdays, and tonight I'll be recording an episode of In Touch with iOS. So anyhow, I get around. I'm easy to find. Just Google me. And thanks again for everyone for joining us. And we'll see you again next week and also tomorrow.